Okay. Hello, my name is Cédric Villemain, and I am working for Second Quadrant in France. I will talk about PHG FinCore and the OS Page Cache. The talk is under the license Creative Commons, so it's okay to share. And first, I will explain why I wrote PHG FinCore. In fact, at the first time, it was only a proof of concept project and an opportunity to go in the PostgreSQL code. And there were also some needs, because as a DBA, I face sometimes customers who have a small database which can't fit in RAM, or sometimes customers which have PostgreSQL servers and application servers and other stuff on the same machine. So it was interesting to be able to know where the resources are used and how it impacts PostgreSQL performance. I also had a really specific use case, which was to be able to provide the best performance as soon as the first query comes in the server. So it was better to delay the first connection, but once the first connection is done, be able to answer very quickly, or the most quickly as possible. And it was everything about I/O analysis, just able to monitor, manage those low-level things, and it's all around the I/O stack. So is it okay, the sound? Yeah. When in PostgreSQL you issue a select ABC from foo, maybe you have data directly coming from the PostgreSQL level. Perhaps you have to go down to the operating system level, and perhaps the data have to come from the hardware. And the more deep you go, the more cost you have in the query. So the first level is the PostgreSQL buffer cache, which is in the shared memory. The shared memory contains a big portion for caching buffers. It's a simple LRU list, a least recently used list. That's why we frequently suggest to keep shared memory only no more than one third of the total available memory. Because if it's too large, the simple LRU is not really effective. And also, we have effective cache size parameter, which is a GUC. And we use it to get to tell PostgreSQL and the planificator how much memory it will have to cache data from the operating system and from the PostgreSQL and from PostgreSQL. And effective cache size is used only for one thing, for Marquette and Lohmann approximation, which is an approximation for the simple least recently used and finite list. So it helps PostgreSQL to determine the cost of scanning index, because during queries, the cache size, the buffer cache change. Some rows disappears from the cache, some other blocks appear. So this approximation helps to know that and to reduce the cost. Just after, you have the OS page cache, operating system page cache, which job is only to keep logical content of the block on the hardware subsystem. It can be a NAS, a SAN, or RAID, or directly only an hard drive. We use 4 kilobyte blocks, only small. So for PostgreSQL, we use 8 kilobyte blocks. So usually, we have double buffering from the OS and from PostgreSQL for the same things. We have, thanks to MMAP, I mean core, perhaps option to access the information about each block. And the OS page cache is, in fact, way better and with a very more complex algorithm for the least recently used list, which is a double LRU, and contain also some piece of FIFO inside, and got a larger pin counter than the PostgreSQL buffer cache. So usually, our Linux kernel is a better caching system than PostgreSQL, because it can handle different scenarios and adapt its own work on the current context. And just after, we go to hardware cache, which is physical cache. We usually don't use it a lot. It's mainly for write back. And anyway, it's a closed source, and we can't know anything about that. So I just forget all about the hardware here. The current feature in PostgreSQL to manage the I/O analysis and trying to reduce the cost of grabbing block is done for the monitoring thanks to Hitmix Ratio. We have PG stat I/O views to help you know if blocks were taken from the PostgreSQL buffer cache or from the OS, but actually you don't know if it's other thing. Usually we consider that 90% of cache is a good option, but what about the 10%? It was one of the asks I have. And we also have table space in order to split the block access to make a better distribution. We frequently push index in one and tables in another, but it's hard to know what's the best solution. And since a few releases, we have prefetched buffers. So in PostgreSQL, we have an algorithm to trying to go ahead of our block request in order to improve the performance. So it's mainly used for temporary table and for bitmap ipscan. It's a good improvement. And we also have a synchronous sescan. It's one thing that when we start a sequential scan, if another query comes and try to grab the same kind of blocks, they will wait together in order to provide a synchronous sequential scan, so it reduces. It's a good feature. It really improves the performance. And we also have inside the shared buffers some rings in order to limit the garbage in the shared buffers, because when you make a sequential scan, if you have a bigger table than the your shared buffer, you might think that everything will be trash. But PostgreSQL will be prevent that thanks to the buffer ring limit. But those features are not enough, and we still have some issues in managing those things. First, it's hard to know if we really hit the disk or not. We just know we have to ask to the operating system, but we don't know anything else. That was a very important point, and which led me to this project at the first time. We have issues because sequential scan, even if we have the PostgreSQL ring, can cost a lot, especially when you make a PG dump. So idea is to perhaps help operating system to know that we are going to make sequential scan only one time, and so it's not useful to keep it in memory. And we have my main issue was operating system restart, because you have to upgrade your kernel or for any other reason. When you restart your server, you lost your operating system cache, and you lost your PostgreSQL buffer cache. So first queries might take long time to answer, and it make sometimes several tens of minutes before all the cache system are fulfilled. And that was a strong problem also. And the last one is PostgreSQL restart. For this one, I have not yet solution, but it's another topic because it's only on shared buffer. Perhaps we will manage this thing in another project later. One very interesting thing is to get statistics per segment of table or index. Until 8.4 PostgreSQL, the segments are 1 gigabyte file. So if you have a table of 3 gigabytes, it's 3 segments. Right now, with 9.0, you can extend it. But for this project, I consider that's 1 gigabyte only. So you are able to know how many blocks and if they are contiguous or not are in memory. So it might help you to determine the effective cost to do a sequential scan. And also, so to restore the operating system patch cache, just make a snapshot and restore it. So as a two first ideas to do in this project. So in order to do that, to get statistics, the Linux kernel provide mmap and mincore. This is two syscall we use to get information per block to know if it's in memory or not. It's really simple to use. It's so simple, I was really surprised it haven't already been done before, because it's a few lines of code. And to restore the operating system patch cache, we have a POSIX F-advise system. It's a function to flag blocks or file in order to tell the operating system what we are going to do with those blocks. So we use it to manage this project. There were impact and limits, because the couple of mmap plus mincore, it's two more syscall. So if we want to execute them for each block we request, it can increase the number of syscall and reduce the overall performances. But so it's an impact, but small one. Another problem is the memory mapping, because actually, currently, PGFincore do an mmap of the whole segment, so up to 1 gigabyte. And in 9.0, if we have users with a segment of 10 or 20 gigabytes, it will be probably a very bad thing, because the backend cannot handle memory mapping of 20 gigabytes, usually, because it's limited by the kernel. And so we'll have to manage this. And there is another problem about restoring the patch cache, is that the POSIX F-advise implementation is not the same for each kernel, thanks to Linux evolution. Sometimes it sucks, because, for example, this flag, no reuse, may have been the more useful flag, because it can tell the operating system, I'm going to request this block for only one time, so give it to me, and then after, forget it. Unfortunately, it has been deactivated, because until Linux 2.6.6, it was just buggy, so they just removed the option. It's a void flag. And POSIX self-advise will need, which we already use in PostgreSQL, is also buggy. It's because if blocks are already in memory, it won't help the operating system to know that you have to keep it. You just say, OK, it's in memory. I let it in memory, but it don't touch anything. So there are a patch in the Linux kernel, which is not yet accepted, but I hope it will be introduced in some time. It's a patch from Chris Frost. In order to make it really working as expected, so there are the limits. For PGFincore, I start with just few functions, as simple as possible, with little impact. Just do my job. And so first thing to do was to set a debug flag, because Yes, playing with for the ScriptBuffer internals is sometimes a bit uneasy. And the more debug you have, and the more happy you are to debug your own code. So pgfincore provide debug 1 and debug 5. Debug 1 is soft debug, just have some information. And with debug 5, you have full and plenty debug, so you can have big log size. There is a simple function called pgsysconf, just to output some information from the operating system. In fact, the page size, usually 4 kilobytes, so usually we don't care about this, but in case we are in a custom kernel, or I don't know, perhaps later the page size may change, so we're able to adjust this. And also it provides a number of free pages in the operating system page cache, so you can know if you have fulfilled your OS page cache or if you have still free pages. And there are Swift functions. I use it usually only with a PSQL in an interactive way. It's a pgmincore. Pgmincore will just provide you information about the repartition and state of each block of the relation. The relation can be an index or a table. It's not a problem. And pgf advise underscore we need or don't need, just issuing flag on the wall, on each segment of the wall relation. So it might help you to load the data or unload the data from the operating system. It's very useful when you want to debug some queries, because even if you still have the shared buffers of PostgreSQL with the content, just for example, you can make an explain analyze of your query, restart your PostgreSQL so shared buffers are clean, and then just make a pgf advise not need on your relation, and so everything is empty, and you start again from scratch. So it's really useful for debugging. And the more useful functions are those two, pgmincore snapshot and pgf advise will need snapshot. They make a snapshot of the whole operating system cache for each relation, or for the relation for table foo here. And so after, you are able to restore exactly the same blocks in memory. It's an important difference, because we'll need PostgreSQL advise, if it's called on the first block of a relation, it will try to grab everything, but it may not success and just grab what it can. But if you ask PostgreSQL advise for each block, then it's sure it will load each block. We will see that in a demonstration just after. The perhaps useless function, because it's harder to get analysis on the impact of this function. Perhaps it might be useful later to restore something, and I will explain it at the end of the conference. So PGF advised to set normal flag. A normal flag just to tell the operating system that this file need to have a normal red window. So it's a default window. If you say the kernel that this file is a flag with sequential, that means that it can go up to twice the window of red. And the random flag tells the operating system to stop to red on this relation. So this one will be really helpful, because sometimes we know we are not going to ask in a sequential order, and perhaps you can help the operating system to do better things and better choice. So I start with some concrete use case to understand what it does. Here it's for preloading. So it's what I explained. I just flag with pgf advise will need my pgbench account table. Yeah, I use it. So you see more than 3 gigabytes of data on a small server, only 2 gigabytes of RAM size. And you can see that to trying to preload 3 gigabytes now and 300 megabytes, it took 18 seconds. So it's pretty quick, because it's a very bad server. It's one of the low cost. I can have. And after each line, you can see the number of blocks this selection have. So it's 1 gigabyte, 1 gigabyte, 1 gigabyte, and a smaller one. And the number of free page we still have in the operating system after each loading. And just after, in order to know what happened exactly, we can make a call to pgmin core on the same table. So we tell you that the operating system have a 4 kilobyte block page size, or that the segment are this number of blocks, and the number of blocks we have for each segment in memory. So you see that it didn't trash everything. It's more than the RAM size, but as you see, it goes the first and keeps 30,000 blocks, here 90,000 blocks, here more, and here the last one, it keeps most of the relation in memory. So it's interesting to know, to see that, to understand how the Linux kernel works with cache memory. And the group mem colon tell you how many number of group of adjacent blocks we have in memory. It means if you have 10 blocks in your relation and you have two group mem, it means that you have some blocks together in memory, some free blocks, and then another group of block in memory. So it helps you to understand if it's fragmented or not, in if it's how it's what the repartition is in memory. The other use case is snapshot and restore. It's you see very simple to use. The pgmin core snapshot make a new file in your pgdata, so that's why it's not really production ready. Oh yes, it's production ready, but you have to know that because you go and touch your files. And there is no mechanism actually to drop this file at the end when you drop your table, so you might have a garbage file in your pgdata. So you might consider to use it first for your development. And so it does a snapshot. You say, okay, I add those blocks in memory. I push everything in file. So just after, I'm able to restore exactly the same content from each file. And here you can see that for restoring the same thing, it took not 18 seconds, but 38 seconds. And it's a very important point because POSIX F-Advice will need is known to be a non-blocking RAID. That does not mean it's asynchronous. That means just that if it cannot read, it will forgive and give you back the end. But it does wait to the read to be effective. So it waits after the disk read. And it's an important point because the fine manual is not really explicit on this point. And actually, currently in PostgreSQL, we have we need set on the wall file, for example, or on some part of the code. And for the prefetching we do, we have to wait for the block to be loaded. It's not so free. It's not so. It's not a zero cost. So it was a very helpful thing. The other point is monitoring. I just launched PGBench for hours, just issuing a 10-second bench and just reporting each 10 seconds how many transactions we had per second. So you see here it's a 5,000 seconds, so it took a long time before being able to have a regular transaction per second. And we can also see some spike to down with very bad things happen here and here. And so at this point, your boss will call you and say, oh, what happened during the night? There is no more transaction. The client cry because it's so long to get an answer. And so thanks to pgmin core, we can monitor what happened. So I didn't succeed to put it both graph on the same slide. So you can see just a spike here. came here and here. So you see that when the TPS go down, it's because we lost a lot of block from main memory for the index and here for each segment. And you can see that here the curve are for the group mem information. And you can see that the operating system just remove blocks from the table first and releasing the group mem. So it just spit bunch of blocks all together. But for the index, it reduces also but less, and the group mem increase. It means that he removes blocks from blocks which are not all contiguous. So Linux kernel was aware of the usage we had of each block thanks to this complex LRU to be able to keep the index and to remove the table first. And we also see that during the initialization here, this big slide of time until it's good TPS, we have some zigzag like this until you notice here the same line of good TPS just after that. And you can see that it's trying to make more group mem, less group mem, more group mem. So it's trying perhaps different techniques to keep block in memory. And it's also relative to the PGBench queries we use, because PGBench just makes some requests and all are index scan. And after perhaps 2,000 or 3,000 seconds, so perhaps a bit less than an hour, it's OK. The PostgreSQL server is on the good shape. So I find it interesting to monitor this thing and to be able to explain the boss or the client or the customer what happened and what everything failed during this moment. And a demonstration of the snapshot is that at the beginning, we have a really bad transaction per second, less than 40. But after 1 hour, we are at this level. So here what happened is that I restart PostgreSQL. I drop everything from the memory. I issue a first PGBench, only 40. I restore the snapshot. So it took around 38 seconds. And then the transaction per second are 170, which is way better. And you don't have to wait 1 hour to get this result. And it was very nice, because some people don't want to have slow queries. They prefer wait to connect. But once they connect, they want a quick answer. So we are able to provide this thanks to PGF advice we need and snapshot.
Just to interject something for a second, part of the reason for this is when you run PGBench and you just let it go, it'll actually fetch records pretty much at random. It'll be bopping all over the place trying to get them and seeking all over. So it'll be grabbing AK here, AK there, and it'll go from there. Whereas if you run this restore buffer cache thing that he's got, that's actually reading all the stuff sequentially instead, and that's why it actually populates the thing much faster than if you just let it go and populate on its own while executing queries against it.
Yes.
I'm not sure that was obvious.
Yeah, that's part. Yeah, thanks for the explanation, because it's helpful for my English. But in fact, here it's a snapshot. So what happens is that we store exactly the blocks we want in a sequential way, so it's really faster. But it's different than we might have do the same thing, but without a snapshot. But in this case, we are not sure it's going to grab so many blocks. Here we just try to restore as the last state. So even if the blocks are not really all used, we keep the same buffer cache, which is the main point. PGF in core was is an extension or a module. I don't know how to call it now, because there is so many change in the PostgreSQL project about that. And it led me to another thing, which is to try to make a patch in PostgreSQL to get real information of what happened. Because in the pg.stat.io views, we have already heap blocks it and heap blocks red, and index blocks it and index blocks red. And I add the heap blocks real red and index blocks real red. So this thing tell you how many it we have on the disk. When we request block. It's interesting because for this table here, the PostgreSQL was the default installation, 24 megabytes of shared memory. So you can see that the heap blocks it are really small. There is nothing in the shared memory about that. But for the index, it's really better. You have 80,000. So here, the cache ratio is very, very bad. And even with the real head, you see it's a little better, but it's still bad. But for the index, which is a bad ratio too, because we have 80 phase 2, 35,000, which is a bad ratio, we can see that, in fact, the real head were only 7,000. So the cache hit miss ratio is not so bad globally, because or thanks to the operating system buffer cache. One point is that this is true. This is what the operating system answer you, but we will see just after because of read ahead, we have sometimes some failure or perhaps some wrong ideas on what happened really. Because I tried to make, just an information. This is a patch, and I make a GUC for track disk, so you are able to set track disk to on or to off while you are in production. And I also make a set bypass to S-cache. I was really full of that. Say, OK, perfect. I can do pg dump, could do everything, just make a direct IO or something like that. But it does not work because of the read ahead. Because when you request one block, operating system is going to request one block plus the read ahead window. So the next block you are going to request may have been already loaded thanks to the read ahead. But if you didn't ask for the first block, they weren't in memory. So we count only one, but it might be 7 or 10 access to the disk. So in order to make bypass slash cache effective, first idea is to use the PGA min core snapshot. So just snapshot the whole segment before sexcan, and while you are walking the block, just restoring the state at the snapshot moment. Or perhaps we can use the POSIX F-advise random flag in order to tell the operating system, stop read ahead on this relation. I'm going to sexcan it. And I want to be able to know the real state of each block. But if you do that, maybe it will be a bad performance because the read ahead is effective and, in fact, it's better when you are doing a sequential scan. So it's a real problem and still open to ideas. I still have some ideas coming from these things, which are to make an automatic bypass slash cache once it works. But I think PostgreSQL can be strong enough to know if it's going to request a lot of rows and then to automatically tell the operating system that it don't need the operating system to cache those blocks. We also have an option to improve our prefetching algorithm because actually, currently, it's done via the effective IO concurrency parameter. It's a parameter you set in PostgreSQL.conf to tell PostgreSQL how many blocks you want to preload. It's not exactly the same number, but if you said, I don't know, perhaps set effective IO concurrency to 4, then the window of prefetch will be 20 or 40, but it's determinist. And you cannot know if it's a good value or not. Just have to try and to see, OK, this is better or no. It's exactly the same problem we had in the past with a shared buffer, you don't know if you have to put it to the quarter, to the third, 2 gigabyte, 4 gigabyte. So it's painful because when you do a configuration of your PostgreSQL server, you are not every time in the production workload. So it's hard to guess exactly what the application will do and what happened really. So what's the best adjustment? So this prefetching window is very interesting to make an autoscale on it. It's what I've been done by the same man, Chris Frost. While we prefetch a page, we grab more and more and more. And when the real head appears, it checks if the page is still in memory or not. If it's not in memory or not anymore, that means that the prefetch window is too large and we have to reduce it. And the opposite is true. If it's still in memory, perhaps we can just expand a bit the window prefetching. So we can remove the effective IO concurrency gook. And removing one parameter for the PostgreSQL.conf is every time a good thing because we have so many parameters. Two other ideas were to make, we already have analyzed on the table to get statistics from the content of each column in order to improve the planner. But with PGMin Core, we might be able to make an analyzed disk my table. So PostgreSQL will know how much of the segment is in memory. So perhaps you can just remove the effective cache size parameter too because it might turn to be useless because PostgreSQL already has information for each relation. And we also have another option which have been done by Gregory Stark, which is explain analyze disk select ABC from table to be able to know when we execute a query if blocks were taken from disk or not, and that may help you explain the time it takes. So you can have better optimization of your queries. And yeah, that's my ideas for the future. And for the future after the ideas, this is can we make it work in Windows? If it might be possible because Windows got sys internal tools. This is open source tools, and some of them are able to catch those information. So I have to go and read the code, which is way easier than trying to search in the MSDN website. So thanks, Luke. Go to the source. We have Chris Frost again. We have proposed a FinCore syscall. It's a direct syscall to the Linux kernel in order to remove the mmap plus mincore. So just one syscall, very simple. Is my block in memory or not? Tell me yes or no. And that's quick, and that's a very good thing. Another thing to think about is, do we want to have mmap in PostgreSQL? Because the memory mapping is it's not dangerous, but it's a memory mapping. If you make it too large, you may exceed your limit. If you make it too small, you might make more than necessary mapping. So perhaps a better idea than all the things is to do an async IO and to just rewrite this part of PostgreSQL to stop our fopen and fread as we do actually. And if we want to keep mmap, perhaps we might be interesting to put the track disk option in the core PostgreSQL. PGFinCore does not need to be in the core because it's using only external function. But for the track disk gooks, we need to patch PostgreSQL. So if we have a proofread, good review of the code, and if it's really useful, and people like it, and Tomlin agreed to have a map in the PostgreSQL, perhaps you can have it. We will see. And I hope it's possible. I want to thank you, Andres Friend, here, to his long-term support in the IRC to help me on ideas and on design of PGFinCore. how Rhodium to add, just to share, learn, give you everything he knows, and he knows everything, so he's very helpful. And I want to thank you to be here and listen to my bad English. And I hope you have understood what I've said. And that's done. I have some reference. The PG Finco project description is on my own website, but the project is on PG Foundry. So it's a placeholder because PG Foundry is PG Foundry, and okay, I don't explain more on that. I have a PostgreSQL patch on the Git for the SQL. You have to get this and grab the branch track disk. We have literature from Chris Frost at libprefetch, at libprefetch.cs.ucla.edu. The paper is from June 2009, and it said software to come. So I just expect some software to come, but it does not come. And at the bottom of the page, you can see that the research is paid by Microsoft. So perhaps we'd have to expect some more months after that. Chris Foss, anyway, pushed the patch to Linux kernel. And there is some description, some paper here, interesting to read. So easy to read and to understand. And the thing called syscall and all those kind of things were approved by Andrew Merton. Andrew Merton is a kernel developer, and well, he knows IO subsystem very well. So he said that FinCore, syscall, and the idea to be to provide back to the application information of the usage of core memory is a very good thing for Geek and for the application. So I expect we will have in the next kernel the FinCore, syscall. And I stay in tune on this point. So it's now time to ask if you have some question, and I hope you have some. I'll try to answer. Yes?
What do you know if you have any blocking issues involved when you use the functions from GFincore, and if these blocks are logical level blocks or disk blocks? For example, if you are transactioning and they use that will need function that you showed up,
yeah.
If you have any issue involving blocks in the disk, locks in the disk, disk blocking.
Oh, okay. That's the POSIX F-Advice feature. This is non-blocking red. Because the operating system, if you issue a POSIX F-Advice on a special block, then it will read the block anyway. So it's blocking red. But if you do the POSIX self-advice we need on the first on the zero block on the for the whole segment, then the operating system will manage to see if the core memory have available pages and if it don't have already too many reads to occur on the disk. So it's up to the kernel to decide if it will or not read the block. Perhaps some other? Yeah, David?
You mentioned POSIX a couple times.
Yes.
Are there any plans in the works to make sort of an all POSIX kind of version of this so that it would work on OSs other than Linux?
About FinCore?
Yes.
FinCore is another thing. FinCore is not in the POSIX. The POSIX is only to get data from the disk or to remove data from the core memory. Where MinCore and MMAP and FinCore are just called to the subsystem, and they are not POSIX. Oh, they are not POSIX.
And there are no equivalents in POSIX, and there is also no POSIX F-Advice implementations in most BSDs.
POSIX F-Advice implementation is not 100 effective in Linux, is ineffective in OpenBSD, is partial in FreeBSD, is inexistent in Windows. In Solaris, the call exists, but I don't know if it's really working or not. So,
it's
no. So yeah. So yes, it's a good word, POSIX, but it's for Linux currently, because the other operating system just sucks on this side. They just don't answer you. They just make void void call, void flag. So, well.
There's a little bit of a dependency problem with this, which is that there just aren't that many applications in user space that do anything with this data anyway. So if we could present to the operating system, people, look, we have something useful this database will do. If you implement these system calls, there might be some more motivation for people like the guys working on the free BSD code and whatnot to go, oh, look.
So perhaps FreeBSD will grab some more user for the next version. Yeah, thanks to some lobbying and these things, I hope. Perhaps other thing? No? OK. I hope you like it, and I thank you to listen after my English. Thank you.